Do we thank Matthew for singing that lovely piece, and we trust that the Lord will keep each and every one of us safe until the storm passes by. Now, I trust you have your Bible before you there at home. Would you open it again, please, at 1 Chronicles and the chapter 12. We'll have a brief moment of prayer to pray for the blessing of God upon the Word of God, and then we will consider its message this morning. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the beautiful hymns that we have listened to this morning. And Lord, it is our prayer that thou wilt bless these hymns to our hearts. May we be and like Elisha and have his experience when the minstrel boy played, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Lord, may the Word of God dwell in us richly, admonishing us in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And may the joy of the Lord well up in our hearts to know the blessing of Christ. Help us as we now proclaim and preach the Word of God. May it be a blessing to us. And may we receive it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the very word of the living God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to speak to you this morning on the men of Issachar. And my text is found in verse 32 of 1 Chronicles chapter 12. It says, "And the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment." And it's particularly that phrase, "which were men of that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do." Issachar was the son of Jacob and Leah. And his offspring, that is Issachar's offspring, would go on to become one of the 12 tribes of Israel. His name means reward or hire. And he was given that name because he was conceived after Leah hired Jacob by giving Rachel her son's mandrakes. You read about it in Genesis. Issachar is pictured in Jacob's great prophecy of the tribes in Genesis 49 as the strong ass. He is a picture of the Christian, or what the Christian ought to be. A strong, silent worker for the Lord. One who bears the weight and the load of the task and gets on with it without any fuss. Therefore, that picture of Issachar is something that every Christian should seek to emulate. Now, while there is little said about Issachar, there is no history of him given after his birth. And while he is one of the lesser known tribes of Israel, yet verse 32 gives us a rich insight into his descendants in the days of King David. What we see in this verse and what we learn about the man of Issachar, the descendants of Issachar, is most commendable, most desirable in the children of God. And I put it to you that what we see in them here is most needful, particularly in our day and generation, the day in which we live. From verse 22 to verse 40 of 1 Chronicles chapter 12. These verses record the tribes, the names of the tribes and the numbers of the tribes who associated with David after the death of Saul. And the verses, as you read them, set forth not only the names and the numbers, but the nature of those men and those tribes, their characteristics. For example, you will see in verse 24, some of them were prepared men. It tells us that the children of Judah were ready, armed for war. They were prepared for the battle. They were prepared for what lay ahead. And the Christian ought to be a prepared man, prepared for the battle. Some were pious men. In other words, they were holy men. You'll see from verse 26 to 28, the children of Levi were mentioned. They were the priestly tribe, the tribe that ministered in the house of the Lord and the things of God. There are men that are mentioned. There was Jehoiada, the leader of the Aaronites. The Aaronites were the priests. Zadok is mentioned in verse 28. He was a young man, mighty of valor. Zadok was a priest. And do you notice that he was a mighty man when he was young? And we encourage the young people in our congregation, be mighty for the Lord when you're young. Some of the idea when they're young, they'll live for their education. They'll set their course for their career. And when they get settled in life, then they'll give more time to the things of God. Don't be like that young person. Be like Zadok. Seek first the things of God when you're young. Be mighty for the Lord when you're young. This priestly tribe, they associated with David. They were pious. They were holy. Some were prepared. Some were pious. And the men of Issachar were prudent. Verse 32 tells us, they had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. That's wisdom. That's prudence. And that's the thing that marked the men of Issachar. I put it to you this morning that in the day and generation in which we live, we need men, in particular church leaders, who are like the men of Issachar, men with understanding of the times, who know what God's people should do. Yet sadly, it is not the case in Christendom in general or in many congregations in particular. There's little to no understanding of the times and no knowledge of what God's people should be doing in this day and generation in which we live. This morning I want to consider the men of Issachar as examples for every Christian, but particularly for men of God. I want you to notice, firstly, they had spiritual discernment. Let's consider in a little more detail the meaning of that phrase, which were men that had understanding of the times. Let me repeat that. They were men that had understanding of the times. That little statement speaks of an ability to look at the events of their own times, what was happening all around them in the nation of Israel, the things that were going on in national, civic, religious life. They had the ability to look at those events and they could discern and they knew from them what God was doing, what God was saying, how God was working in the nation and speaking to the nation. And from those events, They knew what Israel should do. Let me just pause for a moment and ask the question in its context. What were those events which God clearly had His hand in, that they understood, they discerned, they knew God's hand was in? They understood exactly what God was doing, what God was saying through them, what God was demanding from His people at such time. What were those events? I believe they're summarized in the second part of verse 23. It tells us, well, let's just read all of verse 23. These are the numbers of the bands that were ready armed to war. And then this part of the verse tells us, and came to David to Hebron to turn the kingdom of Saul to him, that is to David, according to the word of the Lord. They watched the kingdom of Saul, the house of Saul, collapse. They observed his death on the battlefield. They watched the division in his household among his adherents. Abner joined affinity with Ishbosheth, who he set up to be king in Saul's stead. But God's man was David. But as time went on, Abner and Ishbosheth fell out, and it was all over one of Saul's concubines. Death of Saul in the battlefield. Division among his adherents and supporters. The destruction of the leaders. For Joab, didn't he take Abner in the gate of Hebron? And he plunged the sword in under his fifth rib until he died for the blood of Asahel, Joab's brother. And as the men of Issachar watched all these events unfold, they witnessed Saul's house collapse, but they beheld the house of David being consolidated, being strengthened, and they understood that the Lord was no longer with or in the house of Saul. They understood that the Lord was present with David, that He was prospering David, that He was promoting David to be king. In the words of Samuel, 1 Samuel 15 and 26, the words of Samuel to Saul, "Thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel." In the words of Saul, or the Lord about David, "The Lord was with David," 1 Samuel 18 and 28. And now, in 2 Samuel 3, verse 1 of the present events, we read, "David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker." And the men of Issachar, they were watching these events. They understood what was going on. They knew that God had abandoned Saul. They knew that his defeat was of the Lord. They knew that his house was in disarray and was about to fall, and the Lord was prospering David. He was going to bring him to the kingdom for such a time that David was God's man to be king over all Israel. They discerned these things. They understood them. They had an insight and a spiritual understanding of what was taking place. They had the gift of discernment. I put it to you that the gift of discernment is a rare thing in this day and generation in which we live. Many Christians and even so-called Christian leaders, they just ponder through life. never really recognizing or understanding what God is doing, what God is saying. They don't see His hand in events that are taking place, and they haven't a clue what is going on in the divine scheme and order of things in their day and generation. Oh, how we need, as believers, to have the spirit of the man of Issachar. And oh, how we pray for those in office in Christ Church to be men of who understand the times. Let me just say one thing before I leave this point. And it's a very important thing, very important aspect to developing a discerning spirit as a Christian. And it is that a discerning spirit comes from an understanding of God's Word. Do you see that in verse 23? It says, they came to David to Hebron to turn the kingdom of Saul to him. They're going to give their loyalty now to David, though they lived in the realm of Saul's house. They're going to turn it on to David. And why were they doing that? Not only because they had an understanding of the times. Why had they an understanding of the times? Look at the end of verse 23. According to the word of the Lord. They understood the word of the Lord, that David had been anointed by Samuel, and it had been declared over David by Samuel, the prophet of the Lord, that he would be the next king of Israel. And as they watched the events unfold around them in accordance with the word of God, they discerned that now they must give their loyalty to David. And my friend, if you want to know anything of a genuine discerning spirit in this age, then it will only come by a knowledge of God's Word. John, the Apostle John, in his epistle, 1 John 4, verse 1, he exhorted the believers of his day, don't believe every spirit. But he said, try or test the spirits. They were to be discerning. And they were to try the spirits. And what is the standard for testing or trying the spirits? Isaiah 8, verse 20, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. We are to test events and spirits by the word of God. And when they match up to the word of God, then we are to accept or believe them. It's the Spirit of God. But when they deny or they don't live up to the teaching of God's Word, we are to reject them. My friends, when we enter times of crisis in the church or in society, we should judge those events and what we should do by the teaching of God's Word. And we should move forward on the basis of what God's Word teaches us. They had a discerning spirit, a spiritual discernment. Men which had understanding of the times. But then I want you to notice, secondly, not only had they spiritual discernment, there was specific action. Notice the little phrase, to know what Israel, that's the whole nation. They knew what they should do, but they knew also what Israel should do. You see, with such knowledge and understanding that they had to do something about it and do something with it. And That was what God would have all Israel to do. They knew what the people of God in their entirety should do. And what was that action that was required? You'll see it again in verse 23. Summed up in those words, and came to David. They were to come to David. They were to associate with David. And in coming to David, they had to abandon the house of Saul. They had to abandon their loyalties to the house of Saul. They had to abandon their labor for the house of Saul. They had to abandon their leanings toward the house of Saul. They had to forsake the house of Saul. Come, associate with David. The house of Saul pictures and symbolizes the house of compromise, particularly religious compromise. It signifies the house of disobedience, particularly religious disobedience. It symbolizes the house of persecution and hatred, particularly religious persecution and hatred. Let me explain. Saul had started well. He was chosen and anointed king. He ran away because he felt he couldn't fill the office or the role of king, and he started well under God, but the longer he went on, the more his heart was filled with pride. The more he went on in his own strength, the more he got away from the Lord and the things of God and the principles of God, until he compromised altogether in disobeying the word of God in relation to Amalek in 1 Samuel 15. And the Lord said, "You've rejected me, and I have my word from reigning over you, and I have rejected you from reigning over Israel." He disobeyed the Lord. He rejected the word of the Lord. He further compromised the testimony of God by seeking advice from the witch at Endor. And when God said he would raise up another to take his place, he persecuted and he hated David, even seeking his death. And as such, God abandoned Saul and his house. Saul had a name to live, but he was dead. And his house reminds us of compromised religion. There are churches and there are denominations that have started well. They have a glorious history, but that's all they have. They started well, but now they have disobeyed the Lord. They have departed from the Lord. They have compromised His word. And they have, in some instances, they have abandoned His word altogether as a standard of righteousness and truth. I want to say to you this morning, if you are going to be loyal to Christ, whom David foreshadows, then there must be an abandoning of the house of compromise. I'm thinking particularly of the ecumenical movement and its associations with Rome, and now its immorality. Its abandonment of biblical principles and truth in its goal of unity. I'm thinking also of the charismatic movement and its outright disobedience to God's word in worship, in ways, in their standards of living. And I am saying to you, if you are going to be loyal to the Lord, then there needs to be a complete disassociation from these houses of compromise and a swearing of our loyalty to our King Jesus, no matter what the cost. There needs to be a coming out and being separate. There needs to be a breaking of the ties. When these men came to David, they not only broke off their loyalty and their labors and their leanings toward the house of Saul, but to David, they were surrendered. Look at verse 33. It tells us, speaking of the men of Zebulun, they were not of a double heart. They were wholly committed now to David's cause. There were those who were supportive. Verse 18, they came to help David. We didn't read that verse, but it tells us that they came to help David. Thine are we, David, and on thy side, thy son of Jesse. Peace, peace be unto thee, and peace be to thine helpers. They came to help, and they helped in a practical way, and they helped in a spiritual way. They were surrendered to him. They were supportive of him. They were strong for him. They were ready to go to war. And my friend, that's what we need today. We need men and women who are discerning of the times. They can see the great issues that are taking place, the end time apostasy setting in, the compromise and abandonment of God's word as the standard of faith in many professing churches. And they need to not only abandon it, but surrender themselves, support the Lord's cause, and be strong for Him to serve the Lord. Oh, for Christian men today with such insight and such initiative to have understanding of the times, to know what they and God's people should do, to see the errors of ecumenism and charismaticism, to have courage to separate and stand apart for Christ, and to be loyal to Him. May God grant us such individuals and such leaders in this day and generation for Christ. I want you to notice one final thought. I'm going to get a bit of lubrication here for my throat before we look at this thought as we close. I want you to see, thirdly, they were not only men that had spiritual discernment, men that had specific action, but they were men that had significant influence. Look at verse 32 again, and particularly the final part. Let's read the verse together. And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200, and all their brethren were at their commandment. Do you notice 200 men of Issachar? The heads of them were 200. 200 men who had understanding of the times, knew what Israel to do, but all their brethren under them were at their commandment. 200, they led and the others followed. 200 with insight, discernment, knowledge. Their brethren followed. When godly men lead in a godly path, the people follow. There will be a people who will follow. That's borne out time and time again in Scripture. We could give many, many examples. You think of the days of Ezra, when he led the people from Babylon back to Jerusalem for the building of the temple, and there were no Levites in their midst, and he sent a message, and he gave a rallying call for the Levites to come and support them. And the Levites came at his cry and his call to go back to Jerusalem to minister in the house of God. Think of the days of Hezekiah when the temple was closed. What a theme that is for a few weeks' time, hopefully, the reopening of the house of God. It was shut in Hezekiah's day because of apostasy. And yet Hezekiah came and he opened up the house of God and he put the rubbish out of the house of God and he led the people to celebrate and observe the Passover again. And there was revival in Israel in Judah because one man gave godly leadership. That's a challenge to Christian leaders today. That we will give leadership in accordance to God's word and in accordance to His ways and the priorities that He gives and emphasizes. The encouragement is this, that when the men of Issachar when to give their loyalty to David, knowing it was the right thing to do, the people followed. All their brethren were at their commandment. This is an encouragement too, in a general sense, that child of God, you do the right thing. Do the right thing by and for the Lord. And you will have an influence on others and with others and for others that they will follow and do the right thing for God and before God as well. The men of Issachar, which had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, may the Lord grant us such discernment, such insight, such determination to do what is right before God in this day and generation in which we live, we labor for the Lord.